Blog Talk Radio.
Today's show is titled Three Magical Sales Secrets. And why do we want to talk about magical sales secrets? Simple reason. You need to understand the importance of selling, because when you sell, you want to make the sale. And there are some things to consider, like preconditioning through commitment, setting up the desire, and a few other things. And it's a matter of understanding how you can build your sales to the way that will help you grow on a long-term basis. And your attitude, not your aptitude, will determine your attitude. And magic. Today, you're going to discover the secrets of structuring presentations so powerful they sell your products, services, or ideas like crazy. Case in point, I conducted the first of our four first implementation boot camps we're having this summer. Out of the 90 buying entities in the room, I sold 25 $2,500 products. You do the math. What makes this even cooler is boot camps are real trainings and workshops and are not designed to sell stuff. There's almost no pitching at all. So how then did I manage to get the many people to buy a fairly expensive product without really selling? The answer is through careful structuring of my presentation. That led people to want to buy without having to resort to the high-pressure, cheesy sales tactics employed by so many platform salespeople. So, here is the structure that produced the magic. Step number one, preconditioning through commitment. You've probably been subjected to a platform salesperson asking you the most insane questions to elicit a positive response. For example, he jumps on stage and says, "How many of you want to make a lot of money, boss?" Buff, buff. Yes, this is a strategy, does work because it is based on the law of compliance, which states that if I can get you to do what I ask you to do throughout my presentation, you are more likely to buy than when I tell you to buy. But you can get the same results without feeling all greasy and without making your audience feel manipulated. At the boot camp, I asked a series of three questions to begin my presentation. How many of you are committed to making money this year? How many of you are committed to having the business you've always wanted to have and dreamed about having? How many of you are committed to doing both of these things while living the lifestyle you desire? The key word was committed. It makes all the difference in the world and will come into play later on. Setting up your desire. Okay, let's back up a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about what the word committed means. Committed means that are you committed? Do you have a goal in mind? Are you ready to make that commitment to be successful? If you are, then you are ready to move up to the next level. And maybe I should tell a little story about being committed. First of all, think about it. Many people lose that commitment. Why? Because they feel and they fear a sense of failure. And why is that? Because they fear that once they get to that plateau, that they will not be able to reach or set those goals that they truly want. So, look for some things that you can do that can show you. Because, you know, being committed does not mean, oh, I'm going to spend an hour a day. Even in network marketing, what do they tell you? You have to make a 90-day commitment. And you have to set a number of calls, a goal that you are going to reach every day. Once you do that, and you give that 90-day commitment, and make sure if you have a family that you are telling them that between this time and this time and this time, I am going to be working. My doors are closed. You cannot come in. Once I have reached my goals at the end of my 90 days, then we will have all the time in the world. So it's a matter of what kind of commitment are you making? That is the biggest thing that entrepreneurs have difficulty with, is that they don't know how to make a commitment to themselves, to be willing to put the time in, to build up their income. So now let's talk about setting up desire. I want to sell people what they want. It's a heck of a lot easier than trying to convince them they need something. The cool thing is you can create desire in your prospect in the very subtle ways. I do it with what I call casual mentions. When I was doing my mind reading show for corporate blankets, I would casually mention the other types of performances I offered. For example, I would say, what I'm about to show you, I recently put at a sales meeting for IBM, and the VIP of sales said it was the most amazing thing he'd ever seen. That seemingly innocuous statement almost always resulted in the sales manager of the company I was performing for inquiring about what I did for sales meetings. I also gave me a third-party endorsement. Did you catch that? During the boot camp, I casually mentioned a certain product a couple of times and how powerful it was. By doing so, I created the desire for people to want that particular product. Here's another thing to think about that people have a lot of trouble with. If you are in the healthcare industry, you want to reach other people in the healthcare industry. If you try to reach out to people who have no interest in the healthcare industry or your products, then you are more likely to suffer a setback and fear of failure. So look for some things that you can do that can turn those things around for you. The biggest thing is to figure out what is your target market. trying to reach. Step three, the recall close. When I get to the part of the boot camp where I made the actual product offering, I use the commitment the audience made in step one and the desire for the product I created in step two to compel many of the audience members to invest. In a future newsletter, I'm going to write an entire article on how to use bonuses to increase sales, because for now, what's important for you to know is one of the fast action bonuses I offered was the product I created, the desire for. The most salespeople never think about creating the desire for a bonus they are giving as part of their offer. They simply think about adding bonuses. Far better for you to create the want, need, desire for the bonus during your presentation before you offer it. Next, I want to justify my giving a fast action bonus. Johnny Kennedy wrote a book called Reason Why Marketing, with the premise being you need to give your prospects reasons why they should buy. That is where your benefits come in. What is in it for them? Remember the call letters, WIIFM, because that is what people look for when it comes to their hot buttons. What is it that they truly want or they truly need? And how do you create that need for them to want it? So, why did someone have to go to the back of the room and buy now? The reason and justification I gave was, I want to reward people who make decisions quickly. It shows they are committed to their success, and those are the type of people I want to work with and who will get the best results from this program. This simple paragraph is loaded with powerful psychic sales techniques. Can you discern all of them? An obvious one is how I use the word committed to recall the commitment audience members make to themselves earlier in the day. By the way, my reason why is absolutely true. Our most successful members literally buy everything we offer, and are the first people to buy. So, when you look for things that you are truly interested in marketing and know someone that has similar interests to yours, they are your market. So, let's talk about who is your sales market strategy. And why do we want to talk about a sales market strategy? Simple reason that when you look at marketing, look at a strategy that will help you build exactly what it is that you are looking for. The problem is that people do not always think about what they need to look for when it comes to building a strategy for sales. They are just looking for one thing and one thing only, as to talk to as many people as they want to. You know, the theory is if you talk to 10 people, 2 will buy. But if you talk to people who are truly interested in what you have to sell, then you can close more people than if you just do what other people tell you to do. So the strategic marketing simulation takes you through a system that will help you create more sales. And why we want to put you through, okay, all of our marketing and business simulations share a similar storyline. Your students start a new company or a marketing division that enters the microcomputer business. They serve as the company's or division's executive team. They analyze market research data, form an overall business strategy, and then make a set of strategic and tactical decisions with the goal to become profitable and be the best competitor in the industry. The market they serve is competitive and fast-paced, and the customers are demanding, and the competition is working hard to increase their market share. And that is what you are doing, is what makes you unique. How can you put together your marketing strategy that can help you build your sales, your bottom line? Okay, so when you want to develop a marketing strategy, here are some things to think about. Jumping into selling your product or service without planning how you will go about it is likely to yield far poorer results than if you adopt a strategic approach to your sales. Use your sales strategy as part of your business plan to help you convince your bank manager or your potential investors to make sure you update and review your sales strategy regularly. You know, corporations have built their sales strategy on their brand, and their brand is their name. You are your brand, so you need to have people know, like, and trust you. And when they learn to know, like, and trust you, they are more likely to build and buy from you as opposed to your competitor. So, what is your sales strategy? A sales strategy sets out in detail how you will get your product or service in front of people who need it. Looking at it strategically will give you a comprehensive, methodical approach to ensuring your marketing your business correctly as you are approaching the right clients. A sales strategy can be based on your business and marketing plans. It looks at how you will deliver objectives set out in your marketing plan, as well as how you have chosen a segment of your target market and how you will fund your marketing activities. A sales strategy is not the same as a marketing strategy. Whereas marketing is about getting your name out there and tempting new customers or rekindling interest in your business, a sales strategy is more about how you close the deal. In order to build a comprehensive strategy with your entire business, you will need to sit down and come up with a different sales strategy for each of your product lines. While they may all end up looking very similar, but it's important to be aware of subtle differences between your products and the customers who pay for it. So are we getting a better idea here of what a sales strategy is? As you can see, when you want to put together a sales strategy, you need to look at the objects. Okay, so what do you want to do next? Well, let's see. Maybe look at the six major sales strategies. To think of some things that you can do. So, let's look at the pillar of distinctive competence. Strive to position your business as one that is more interested in solving your customers' problems. Then in just closing the order, get to know your customer and her specific needs, the posture, your business as a partner to help solve their needs, the pillar of customer perspective. If you don't put yourself in your customer's shoes, you will never fully understand your customer's needs. And you may also miss future opportunities your customer does not yet foresee. Ask for more information on the customer's business. Tour the customer's facility. Take time to thoroughly understand the customer's situation before you begin any sales pitch. The pillar of selling value, not hardware. Thoroughly understand the value proposition of your product or service with precise figures. What savings or increase efficiency will your customer realize? Do you quote generalities but have specific examples with precise figures, percentages, and time frames to back up your claims? Once you are armed with this information and with intimate knowledge of the customer's specific needs, create a unique approach and tailor your sales presentation to the specific outcome your product can offer your customer. You should use your product data to illustrate how and in what time frame you will solve the customer's problem. The presentation should evolve, and the value you can offer to their business is specific time frame rather than cost of the hardware. And why are we looking for opportunities to create a sales strategy for you and your business? The pillar of progressing slowly. Never try to rush to close on this type of sale, even if the wolves are knocking at your door. No matter how much customers may like you, if you sense you are pushing to close it the order, they may remain polite and they will erect an impenetrable wall between you and securing the order. Early in the process, do not appear excited. Lean back in your chair and ask questions. After all, you are in data gathering phase. Even if you are confident you have perfect solution, resist the temptation to learn forward and start your selling process too soon. If you slow down, you should gain their trust and order sooner. Here is something to think about that I think a lot of people miss. You can tell by understanding a person's individual personality whether or not they are ready to close or not. Because when you have someone who understands what their hot buttons are, and let's put it this way. There are four behavioral styles that are pure behavioral styles. And that is someone with a high D, a high I, a high S, and a high C. And if you understand those behavioral styles, you understand how to sell someone. Because a high D, that is someone who loves to control the situation. And they don't really care about detail. They just want to know, what's the bottom line? What is it going to do for me? And what does it cost? If you get into all this hullabaloo of detail, 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 you are going to lose someone. Recently, I know someone that I are connected on LinkedIn, and we connected because both of us have a background in rehabilitation services. When he left the rehabilitation field, he sold insurance. When he changed fields, he got more into the health and wellness products. And he keeps calling me about all these different health and wellness products that he's looking at. The problem is, I have no interest in all those health and wellness products. So he's never going to make a sale to me. So if he would understand that, then he would understand I have no interest in those products. Now, here's another behavior pattern to think about. That's the I behavior or the inspirational behavior. They talk to everyone, and it's easy for them to make a conversation. But if you are trying to sell to someone with a high I, you do not want to get into detail. They don't care. All they care about is, what is it going to do for me? Now, there's two behavior patterns, the steadiness behavior pattern and the compliant behavior pattern. And they love detail. They can sit and listen to you for hours on end, just getting into all the detail on what it's going to do for them before they buy. But if you understand what a person's natural behavioral pattern, then you can tailor your presentation to them. You do not want to tailor your presentation to someone that's a behavior pattern that you do not know how to deal with. The best thing you can do is be willing to go and take some assessment profiles that will help you understand what different styles are. It is important for you to understand how to put all of this together if you want to put together a good sales strategy. And you can go to my website, and that website is the number one, personalcareercoach.com. And we can work with you with assessment profiles to help you put together a good sales strategy that can help you in the long run.